This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
The Neverland Podcast 005.
Neverland. I can start at the right and stay on till morning. Neverland.
Good morning.
And good morning. I am once again your host, Jeremy, here to sprinkle a little pixie dust, grab your nearest pixie, sprinkle it around, think some happy thoughts, and we're off to Neverland once again. Here at the Neverland Podcast, for those of you who are new, we pretty much relive some childhood memories, and we kind of just act like big kids again, even with a few modern things. Since this is a pretty early podcast, all we've been able to talk about has been Christmas because it was the Christmas season. But today it's going to be kind of different because, well, Christmas has unfortunately ended for another year. So now we're going to get on to what I would call pretty much business as normal. But we've got something kind of special this week. We're actually going to remember the life and death or whatever you want to say. But this is kind of in memory of James Avery, who passed away at the age of 68 on Wednesday, January the 1st. And now the reasons why we're going to remember him is because, well, he has actually granted us some pretty good childhood memories. In fact, I think most of you will always remember him for this.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air. In West Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cooling, all shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared and said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air." I whistled for a cab and when it came near, the license plate said freshen it a dice in the mirror. If anything, I could say that this cab was rare, but I thought, nah, forget it, yo, home's the Bel Air. I pulled up to the house about 7 or 8 and I yelled to the cabbie, "Yo, home, smell you later." Looked at my kingdom, I was finally there to sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel Air.
Yes, indeed. We most likely remember him from his run from 1990 to 1996 as being Uncle Phil, the judge, who took in Will Smith as the Fresh Prince in a long-running six-year series there that most of us probably did watch. And so to a lot of us, when we heard of his passing, I did notice a lot of people saying, "Oh, Uncle Phil's gone." But there's a lot more to remember him for. In fact, how many people remember Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling? Well, on Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling, he was actually the voice of the Junkyard Dog.
We'll be right back.
Now, that is probably not the theme most of you think of when you hear of Hulk Hogan, but if you happen to see of the cartoon of Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling, that was the music used, and that was actually the original music planned for Hulk Hogan, which I think was probably used only once before they switched over to the Real American Song, which was originally written for a tag team of Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo. But we're not here to talk about wrestling. That's coming some other podcast. But so, James Avery was the Junkyard Dog on that, but for cartoons, there's a lot of other cartoons that he voiced, but for the one we're all going to remember the most, it's definitely going to have to be this one right here.
But you may call me the Shredder.
That's right. He was on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as the Shredder. Now, it took me a while, I think when the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air had come on, for me to actually recognize his voice. And in fact, I did not at the time recognize him from being the driving, well, not really instructor, but the driving examination. Did you ever see the movie License to Drive? We actually went to the drive-in theater to see that movie. But he was the examiner as well on that one, and I didn't quite recognize him later on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air being that until I actually had seen the movie later on. So we're going to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles here for a while, just because it seems fitting to memorialize the guy that pretty much most of us, if you're around my age, this was a big part of our childhood.
Ah, it feels so good to be so bad.
Yes, indeed. It did feel good to be bad. I remember the first time I had seen this series. It was... Oh, golly. Well, it was sometime in the 80s, but it was during the summer. And in the morning, usually my routine, I was watching some cartoons before I went out to do whatever I was going to do on a summer day. But at 8 o'clock, it was supposed to be time for the Silverhawks to come on. Now, how many of you remember the Silverhawks? With Quicksilver being the same voice of Lion-O from the Thundercats. But we'll talk about the Silverhawks probably on a later podcast, too. But I was there to watch the Silverhawks, and then suddenly on a Monday morning, on came the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it was the beginning of the miniseries.
Leonardo leads, Donatello does machines.
That's a fact, Jack.
Raphael is cool, but rude.
Give me a break.
Michelangelo is a party dude.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Heroes in a half shell.
Turtle power.
Now, of course, the names of the turtles goes by so quickly in the theme song that when I first saw it, I was like, who, what, where? I was trying to just catch up. And it wasn't until later on in the series that we actually learned who they were and where they came from.
Donatello, whose simple wooden bow can disarm any adversary. Raphael, no sword on earth can withstand his design. Leonardo, his swordsmanship is unmatched. Michelangelo, master of the whirling nunchakus.
And master of the whirling pizzas.
And that is how they became the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Now, the actual origins of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles actually go back to a couple of guys. The concept arose from a humorous drawing sketched out by Kevin Eastman during a casual evening brainstorming with his friend Peter Laird. Then they got together and used some tax refund money and developed a single-issue comic. And it was meant as a parody of all things. It was supposed to parody Daredevil, The New Mutants, a book called Cerebus by Dave Sims, and then Frank Miller's Ronin. And so it got various incarnations and printing companies since about 1984. I actually had a reprint of some of the old black and white, and it was fairly different than what we were used to growing up. The version we got growing up from the cartoon was actually later from Mirage Studios, and where they had you'd find a comic adaption through the Archie comics. And so it was kind of, well, it was child down, we'll just say. Because the original Black and White was a little bit more violent, but still just as goofy and just as much fun. And there was actually some definite differences in the origin story of the Turtles compared to what they did in the 1987 television series.
The story of my young friends and I is really the story of a man named Hamato Yoshi. In Japan, there is a ninja clan known as the Foot. Hamato Yoshi was their Shidoshi, teacher of the warrior ways of enlightenment. Yoshi was a quiet man who loved art, but one student sought to usurp his leadership of the Foot Clan. Oroku Sake. Then one day, a master sensei, a teacher, visited the Foot School, and Oroku Sake made his move. Impudent dog, bow before our beloved master. So, you plot to kill our honorable sensei.
Disgraceful. For this misdeed, you should be banished from the Foot Clan altogether.
What say you, all-wise sensei?
Oh, I say, throw the bomb out.
In disgrace, Yoshi fled to America. Penniless, he was forced to live in the sewers, in these underground tunnels. His only friends were the rats. Until one day, some new friends came down the drain. Back in Japan, under Orokusaki's evil leadership, the Foot Clan turned into an army of crime.
Stick 'em up!
Back in New York, Yoshi lived happily with his turtles and rats. But then, one day...
So Hamato Yoshi found the turtles covered with goo.
Bingo! You get the feeling all this is starting to lead somewhere?
It was a powerful mutagen. It caused whoever touched it to take on the form of whatever animal they had most recently been in contact with. The turtles started becoming human. They had most recently been with Yoshi. But Yoshi had most recently been with the rats.
Then Hamato Yoshi is...
You got a mind like a steel trap, lady.
My four young wards nicknamed me Splinter, for obvious reasons. I, in turn, named them after my favorite Renaissance painters. I knew the outside world would consider them freaks, so I trained them in the art of ninjutsu.
And little did Splinter know that by training them in ninjutsu, they would be able to fight his ancient enemy once again. Orokusaki had come back as the Shredder, palled up with a weird little brain alien named Krang in a very weird technodrome. It was a very odd enemy set, and pretty much most of the episodes that we remember from the syndicated original series, it was always Shredder, 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 Shredder. It wasn't until eventually when the series landed on CBS on Saturday mornings that suddenly some weird other villains started popping around. But if you were reading the Archie comics, which unfortunately I wasn't, there were a lot of other characters and other villains that were brought in, which they actually did make figures of and did sell figures. But if you were like me and you were only watching the cartoon, you'd see these weird characters like Seymour Guts. I actually had that figure. You didn't know where in the world this character come from. You'd just never seen him on the cartoon. But later on the CBS Saturday morning version, the character did finally make an appearance, which was fun for me because I actually did have that. It was the first figure that I'd gotten. Well, as things progressed on, little did we know when we watched the animated series that this would soon become a movie. A live-action movie, and I remember when my friends had first told me about it, I was just kind of in disbelief and wondering how in the world could they ever have four turtles in a movie, and how in the world would they make that work? But actually, later that same evening, I had went out to see Back to the Future Part 2, and lo and behold, right in front of it was this trailer.
The city itself will be our playground to use as we please, rewarding ourselves and punishing our enemies.
We've been looking for you, Miss O'Neill.
There is a new enemy, freaks of nature. Together, we will punish these creatures.
What the heck was that?
Looked like sort of a big turtle in a trench coat.
Now, there is definitely one thing that we can attribute to James Avery in playing the role of Shredder that actually has similarities to the Shredder we saw in the film. Did anyone else notice that he seemed to have a bit of a similarity to, Darth Vader, perhaps?
I am your father.
No! Don't deny your destiny. Join me.
Yes, indeedy. That definitely reminded me of Darth Vader. But, you know, it was kind of cool because he had the same kind of thing, same sort of a helmet, same kind of a mask. So, you know, who knows if it was actually supposed to be Darth Vader inspired, but really, we saw the similarities, but that was all right. We liked it, and we always like to have a good Shredder with a good deep voice. And in fact, in later series, the voice of Shredder has gone deeper and more evil and closer to Darth Vader without trying to sound exactly like him. I mean, after all, he has not been wheezing or anything that I'm aware of in any series. Although in this current computer animated series on Nickelodeon, he does have a burned and scarred face. Methinks it's a bit too similar.
Tonight I dine on turtle soup.
Okay, there's a big difference between you and Darth Vader. I've never saw Darth Vader eat any turtle soup. Anyways, when that movie came out, I tell you what, there was a meteoric rise in the popularity, and turtle fans just started coming out of the woodwork. But one thing that I will always remember, I believe it was the North Kansas City Bowling Alley was the first place I'd saw it. I was staying with some friends and everything, kind of doing it overnight, and we'd gone to the bowling alley, and we looked into the arcade, and lo and behold, there was the stand-up four-player Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game in all of its glory. remember when this was being ported onto the Nintendo Entertainment System. There had already had been a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game previously, and it was okay. I never beat it without a Game Genie. It was really ridiculously difficult and had a lot of ridiculous enemies that you end up fighting in it that you would never see in the cartoon. But then they did what they called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game. Now, when I first heard about this, it was after the time that Nintendo had released, I forgot what they called it, but it was enabling you to go up to four players on a Nintendo game, and there were just a few select games that they started putting out to have four players. Well, when I heard about this arcade game coming home, I figured, oh, awesome, it will be four players, and you can play with all four turtles. Yeah, no such luck. The home version of this game was laughable, but it was still fun to play, and we still got a kick out of it. The basic setup, though, was instead of just walking up and battling an enemy by constantly hitting the attack button, you would have one hit, then they'd hit you, and then you could hit them the second time and defeat that foot soldier. So what basically you'd end up doing is you practiced and learned how to do the jump followed very quickly and immediately by the attack button and what we called the jump swing. So you would jump up and knock out that one foot soldier in one blow. That way you wouldn't get hit in the process. Either that or you'd have to start jump kicking everything, and that just took forever. It took me a while to figure out that was the nail of things until I was playing with a friend of mine, and I was going and fighting it out and taking the punches, and he was just jump-kicking all over the place and survived longer than I did, although I did take out more foot soldiers than he did. But yeah, that was kind of a bad game mechanic, but it was still very fun to play because it was still Ninja Turtles, and it was still everything in our world pretty much when we were that age until, you know, the next big thing would come along anyway. But, you know, they didn't stop with just one game. In fact, they did make a second one, and the second one had an opening theme song that actually had been taken from a live tour that went around, and an album that actually I did have, an album that was actually sponsored by Pizza Hut. And if you went to Pizza Hut, you could get this album. It was called Coming Out of Our Shells, and it had a theme song that, like I said, was used in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Turtles in Time, and the theme song was something like this.
Just lives as a tadpole, and hardly ever's young.
Okay, so this had an entire album of turtle-themed songs that were actually pretty good musically. It wasn't bad. It was pretty ridiculous, and obviously I do still have a copy. I would make this available to you on iTunes, but I can't seem to find it on iTunes. But I'm sure if you shop Amazon, you'd probably find it. I would have a link on Amazon, but Amazon has issues currently with my home state of Missouri, debating something over internet tax, and I'm not going to get into it here. But okay, now the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, of course, being the first movie so successful, of course, they had to make a sequel movie as well. And, well, let's just say there's one very famous song, and I bet you might just dare me to play this thing, but you may regret it. But you know what? I'm going to play it anyway because we're all going to laugh together on this one. I guarantee it. Okay, enough of that. We can't sit and listen to that one. There's much better music that I can play for you that was in a turtle movie. And actually, of all things, this one ended up being a really big hit, at least where I'm from, on local radio stations. They used to have on a local station, it was a pop station, they would play pretty much everything from, like, you know, Guns N' Roses to New Kids on the Block, even. They played everything. But they actually would have on the evenings, they'd have a competition between two songs, and they'd have a champion song that would go up, and by people calling in either the champion song or a new challenger song would continue on to be played for the next night. So this is actually the first way that I heard this song was during that competition, and this song stuck around for quite a few weeks, and it went a little something like this.
On the half shell, they're the heroes for. In this day and age, who could ask for more? The crime wave is high, with muggings mysterious. All police and detectives are furious, cause they can't find the source of this lethally evil force. This is serious, so give me a quarter. I was a witness, get me a reporter. Call April O'Neill in on this case. Hey, you better hurry up, there's no time to waste. We need help, like quick on the double. Have pity on the city, man, it's in trouble. We need heroes like the Lone Ranger. When Tonto came pronto, when there was danger, they didn't say we'd be there in half an hour, cause they displayed turtle power. Reporter was hot on the trail, determined to put these crooks in jail. She spied the bad guys and saw what happened, but before she knew it, she fell in a trap and got caught. Yeah, she was all alone, with no friends and no phone. Now this was beyond her worst dreams, cause she was cornered by some wayward teens. Headed by Shredder, they were anything but good. Misguided, unloved, they called them the Foot. They could terrorize and be angry youth, and they'd mug the people who needed proof. Then from out of the dark came an awesome sound, shout of cowabunga as they hit the ground. From the field of weeds, the heroes rescued the flower, cause they possessed turtle power.
Find the strength to do what's right. That's turtle power.
Heroes on a half shell, they're on a mission. When there's a battle, got the enemy wishing that they stayed at home instead of fighting. These ninja masters with moves like lightning, they were once normal, but now they're mutants. Squint is the teacher, so they are the students. Leonardo, Michelangelo, and Donatello make up the team with one other fellow, Raphael. He's the leader of the group, transformed from the norm by the nuclear goop. He
pizza is the food that's sure to please. These ninjas are into pepperoni and cheese. Back to the story, it's not hard to find. Ninjas not just of the body, but of the mind. Those were the words that the master instructed. But a letter from Shredder had Splinter abducted. That was the last straw, spring into action. Step on the foot, now they're gonna lose traction. Now this is for real, so you fight for justice. Your shell is hard, so you shout, they can't dust us off. Like some old coffee table. Since you've been born, you've been willing and able to defeat the sneak, protect the weak, fight for rights and your freedom to speak. Now the villain is chilling, so you make a stand. Back to the wall, put your sword in your hand. Remember the words of your teacher, your master. Evil moves fast, but good moves faster than light. Shining for your illumination. Good versus evil equals confrontation. So when you're in trouble, don't give in and go sour. Try to rely on your turtle power.
Now, at the mere mention of this song, my buddy Phil, who you've heard on an earlier podcast, can start reciting these lyrics and rapping it right along. Not too bad for a white guy, too. So this song actually still holds a good, solemn place in our hearts, even though I don't really listen to rap music and everything anymore. But that was just, it was just a fun song, and it really brings back a lot of good childhood memories every time I fire that thing up. I think I could probably just go on and on for probably a few hours, and this could be a couple hours long podcast, and you guys wouldn't mind that so much if I find enough turtle stuff to talk about for a couple of hours. I mean, they did have extended series and things like that going on.
Me Shredder wants to have a little talk with you.
I seem to have a bit of a problem here in studio.
All right, buddy, just come along peacefully.
I can't come along right now. I mean, I'll be as peaceful as you want, but I haven't gotten to share any of the really cheesy dialogue that we all loved about the old, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles show. Lines like these.
We turtles don't know the meaning of the word defeat.
That's right! We never bothered to look it up in the dictionary.
You don't know what it's like living in a place where everybody wants to do you in just for the crime of being young.
Okay, buddy, you're coming with us.
I told you guys I'll come and have a nice little word with the Shredder. You know, that really makes me think about something I heard April O'Neil say once.
Crime. It's something we take for granted. It's simply a day-to-day fact of life in the big city. But occasionally,
a crime occurs so baffling that even we city dwellers sit up and take notice. 3 scientific equipment companies, 3 robberies, and what was stolen?
2 positron accelerators, 4 reverse flux polarity indicators, and 1 parabolic sine wave generator.
And what does all that equipment do?
I have absolutely no idea.
But although the missing goods are high tech, the method by which they were stolen is not.
These incisions could only have been made with a samurai sword. And look at this rope. This can only be the work of ninjas, the ancient band of Japanese warriors.
And how can you tell that from the rope, Professor?
Well, look for yourself. It's made in Japan.
Ninjas, a 1,000-year-old clan of assassins. Is it possible they're here in the city? We're at Technology Central to answer that question, for it may be the next target of
these mysterious burglars. I'll report as soon as anything develops. April O'Neil, Happy Hour News. Back to you, Jeff.
Don't make this any tougher on yourself.
Okay, these weird little robot guys are getting pretty insistent here in the studio. I'm going to try to stick around as long as I can, although they're cutting. They got these weird tentacle things that keep waving at me.
Just come along quietly, and you won't get hurt.
I think I've probably heard that before. But I think I better wrap this up. Well, as you all know, you can at any time visit the NeverlandPodcast.com. Well, actually, just NeverlandPodcast.com. Remove the. I know it's a little confusing, but yeah, that's what I went with. Also, please send us an email.
send your emails to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com, where you can send stories of your childhood that you would like to share, or maybe some topics that you would like to have discussed that bring back some childhood memories for you, or just drop a line and let me know what you think about the show. You can also find us on Facebook at The Neverland Podcast. Also find me on Twitter at neverlandpcast.com. Also, I'd like to remind you that our show is available on iTunes as well as Stitcher Radio. You can, of course, leave a very nice review for me, and I'll be very happy about it. So, yeah, leave me a review, leave me some stars. It does help the algorithms out and helps a few more people find the Neverland Podcast. Also, when you visit the Neverland Podcast and you look at the show notes, there are links that I put there of where the various songs that I play for you and, you know, other videos that are related to this. I put a link over on iTunes so you can go and purchase that yourself, and that does help out the show. So please feel free to visit the website and go through the iTunes, and you can relive some of these memories anytime you like. But I definitely do invite you to come back next week. I'm keeping pretty loose here on this show. It seems that whenever I make a plan, something happens, and I tend to change my mind. So I can't tell you exactly what we're going to talk about next week. All I can say is we're going to have an awful lot of fun, because there's lots of adventures left to have here at Neverland. But just remember, always to remember to, you know, keep that good attitude, keep that childlike innocence somewhere in you, and learn to have a little bit of fun. It makes your adult life go a lot easier. And until next time, I think I better go with these guys. Well, all right, well, I'll see you next week, provided these robots don't do anything too terrible to me. We'll see you next week.
Sorry for the disturbance, folks. Have a pleasant day.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.